This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Nick, they played a commercial as you were waiting. Costas on Costas. Good morning to you, Nick. How's everything?
What's up, everybody? Great to be on with you guys. Happy Football Thursday.
Happy Football Thursday to you. And, you know, we knocked this around a little bit earlier today, just after 6 o'clock. The Steelers have an uncanny way of bottling up Lamar Jackson. I mean, they've done that during the course of his career. And you talk about a number over three or so. If it gets over three, if it's over three, you like the Steelers. Where are you with this game? Because I'm with you. I don't know if the Steelers can win this game, but I think they have a weird way of defending Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet the Steelers in this game. I haven't yet. I actually feel like this number is like only going up. Like, I can't imagine the Steelers are gonna draw a ton of interest this week based on what we've seen recently from Ben Roethlisberger and company, and obviously getting embarrassed last week by the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that there's an intelligent case to be made. I don't know that I would make it that the number should be Baltimore minus three in this game. Like, I think, like, I would disagree with it. I think the number should be like Baltimore minus two, but I can understand that people want to say, well, you know, Ben might be like a bottom five quarterback in the NFL right now. Let's make it Baltimore minus three. But if we're going to make this 3.5 and 4, and right now currently, and I'm looking at Bet Rivers right now, this is closer to 4.5 than it is to 3.5. Like I said, like I think come kickoff on Sunday, I don't think this number is coming down. So I think it's going to be 4 at least, if not 4.5. Now, I don't think it's going to get up to 6, which is like the next key number. So we're talking about irrelevant numbers here, but might as well capture them if we can with like 4 and 5 potentially here. I would never bet Baltimore. So it's just like it's Pittsburgh or nothing for me here. I made the game Baltimore minus two. I could be wrong. Baltimore could win this game at 38-3. Like, it could be an embarrassment for the Steelers, certainly. Just that, I think the number is valuable here with Pittsburgh. So, yeah, God have mercy on my soul. I think I'm going to bet on the Steelers. And, you know, it's like the Steelers are like the new Giants from a couple years ago. It's like Ben's Eli. He's been washed up. They're trying to run it back one more time. They draft a running back in the first round. Hopefully for your guys' sake, this goes better than it has for the Giants recently.
Well, let's talk about those Giants, because I tweeted out earlier, as soon as the Daniel Jones news came out earlier this week, jump on Miami before it gets to six. Well, now it looks like Jones probably going to end up playing in this game, and it's come back down to 4.5. How are you handicapping Giants Dolphins?
Yeah, my sense is that Jones is not going to play. Hasn't been, and I don't, unless I'm missing something. And I know that he's practicing, but he's not cleared for contact with the neck strain. My sense is that it's still going to be Mike Glennon. So I actually think, like, so this is a really interesting like thought discussion for everyone to have, for the listeners to have as well. And it's like, what's the downgrade in the point spread from one quarterback to the next? And it depends on who the quarterback is, right? Like, when Aaron Rodgers was out against Kansas City and Jordan Love started, we had a massive shift in the point spread, which made sense, right, from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. So it's like, what's the difference from Daniel Jones, who's a low-end starting quarterback in the league, to Mike Glennon, who I am not saying he's good. Like, I would never want him starting for my team. But as a backup, I feel like he's a pretty high-end backup in the National Football League, like certainly a top-half backup in the NFL. So what's the drop-off as far as, like, the point spread goes? Like, I would say 1.5 at absolute most from Jones to Glennon. So this number was 3, now it's 4. I don't necessarily disagree with this. So kind of where I come down on this game is I made Miami a 2-point favorite in the game. I think Miami should be minus 2. I think there's recency bias involved here that got this line originally out to Miami minus 3 based on how they've played as of late. I think it's more likely due to the competition that they have played. Not that the Giants are great, but I do think the Dolphins were overvalued and inflated in the market because of their recent results. So if I thought that 3 was too much with Daniel Jones, then I also have to think that 4 is too much with Mike Glennon. Now, for me, I already have a bet on the Giants at +3. So I'm not necessarily looking to add to my position because it's, you know, 3 and 4, not a massive difference. If the number ever like got out to 6, and I'm not saying it's going to, I would bet the Giants again. If you're sitting out there right now and you have no bet on this game yet, Giants and Dolphins, I would wait and kind of see what happens with the number. Like I can't imagine the Giants are going to draw a lot of support here. Maybe you get a better number with the Giants. I would never bet Miami here. So for me, it would still be Giants or nothing at the current number.
Nick, what about tonight? Dallas either 4.5 or 5, a favorite at New Orleans.
You know, I've come on the show a lot recently and told you guys, like, I love the board, and there's been a lot of success recently. I don't love the board this week. I just don't. And I have some bets, and I don't really feel confident in them, and I'm just saying that to be honest and transparent with the audience. I said it on You Better You Bet this week as well. Like, if I feel like I love games, I'll come on and say it, and if I don't love games, I'll come on and say it as well. And I have a bet on the Saints here. I don't love it. I certainly do not love it, especially with the way the injury information has changed over the course of the week. So on Monday, it looked like the Saints were going to get Alvin Kamara back and Ryan Ramczyk back and Terron Armstead back, like their star running back and their two starting offensive tackles. Now it looks like they may only have one of the three, like one of the tackles may play, and now it looks like Kamara's not going to play again, misses fourth straight game with a knee injury. I mean, that's obviously problematic. I do think the Saints have a slight upgraded quarterback with Taysom Hill filling in now for Trevor Siemian. It looks like Taysom Hill's going to start the game tonight, but Dallas is going to be a lot healthier here, and whether Amari Cooper's like fully 100% good to go or not doesn't really matter to me, because Marshawn Lattimore is going to cover him on the outside, and then you could just use Cooper as a decoy, and CeeDee Lamb can absolutely destroy this defense in the slot, which is what I expect to happen coming up in tonight's game. So if I had to bet the game, I would only bet New Orleans. I actually still think that there's a number edge here on the Saints. I think this number should be like Dallas -3 or 3.5, so I still like New Orleans a little bit, but I do acknowledge that there is the potential for Dallas to, like, blow the doors off them tonight. With New Orleans being more banged up than originally thought, injury report has gotten worse throughout the week. Dallas has gotten better. Mike McCarthy being out on the COVID, does nothing for me. It doesn't change my my thought on the game one iota. So, yeah, I like New Orleans, but I can't, like get on the table and pound the table and be like, absolutely love this play. So New Orleans are nothing, but I don't necessarily love my bet tonight.
Follow us. We're on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Nick Costas joining us here. This game I look at, and I don't know where to go with it, and it's Chargers-Bengals. I'm lost. I'm 100% lost.
Well, this is actually my favorite bet of the week. So,
there we go. Yeah, well, then that helps.
Absolutely love the Chargers here. I think the Bengals should be like a 1-point favorite here. The 3, I think, is absolutely ridiculous and is rooted entirely in what we saw last week with the Chargers and their disappointing loss on the road in Denver and Cincinnati's thumping of your guys' hometown Steelers. So, I mean, it's just an easy bet to make here is Chargers at 3. And I understand that this Bengals defense has been good, but I think, obviously, Justin Herbert, bit of a step up in competition from what the Cincinnati defense saw last week. All apologies to Ben Roethlisberger. So I think the Chargers are certainly going to be able to score to stay in this game. And while I think that Joe Mixon should be able to have a big game on the ground with the Chargers having their defensive approach of letting you run the ball to take away explosive plays down the field, I don't know that this is going to be a game where Joe Burrow's just going to be able to sling it here in a matchup of two quarterbacks taken in the top 10 of last year's NFL draft. So Chargers +3 becomes it is my favorite bet of the week. Giants +3 with Jones and Chargers were my co-favorites. Now it's just Chargers +3. You absolutely love this. And it makes me think, guys, back to 1981. And if it hadn't been like -30 degrees in Cincinnati during the AFC Championship game, the Freezer Bowl, we might have been talking Dan Fouts and the Chargers beating Joe Montana and the 49ers, of course, in Super Bowl 16. But that is a story for a bygone era.
Wow. That's a nice little what-if proposition there, Nick. I like that. Go. Nick Costos, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, with us here on the Fan Morning Show, host of You Better You Bet. So how do you handicap Monday night? I look at it. I see Buffalo laying 2.5. I see the New England Patriots, possibly the best team in the AFC, getting points, even if it is on the road. Buffalo without Tre'Davious White. New England, though, they sounds like they might be without their starting safety. Kyle Duggar's on the COVID list. What are you looking at on Monday night?
So I think the most important thing to talk about with this game first is the weather. This total has been crashing throughout the week. We are likely going to have, and we're going to see this, obviously, because we're in December now, we're going to see inclement weather start to rear its ugly head here. We could have snow. We could have major wind in the forecast coming up. Like, I'm looking at the updated forecast right now, and these things obviously change, like, by the hour. I mean, the only thing, like, less reliable than handicappers, I feel like, are weathermen, and that is a kind of, like, a tongue-in-cheek comment. But, yeah, I mean, weathermen are not really reliable. So, I mean, we're looking at, like, 15-mile-per-hour winds throughout the game, potential snow as well. So this total has come down to 43.5. So I think, like, if people are going to bet this game, like, I don't think you can bet it now just because, like, what if on Monday there's, like, snow on the field and, like, no one can move? And, like, I just think, like, we kind of need to wait for more information here. So let's assume that there's snow on the field, right, but there's not a lot of wind. And this is going to require a little bit of work by you, the person listening, or you just listen to us on You Better You Bet on Monday, and we're going to tell you what to do. Where the thing that really screws up totals is not snow. It's wind. It's like a very interesting sociological thing, right? Where people turn the TV on to a pregame show and you see snow on the field and you're like, oh, no one's going to be able to score in the game. It's going to be like a 9-6 game. It's like, well, that's not actually true. Snow actually benefits the offense because the offense knows where it's going. The defense doesn't. So, like, that actually, I think, leads to potentially games going over the total. The thing that messes up totals is wind, when you can't throw the ball and you have to run the ball the entire game. So I think that's something to keep in mind here, where if we get to this game on Monday night and there's snow on the ground, but the wind isn't bad, and literally all you have to do is, like, Google, like, weather Buffalo tonight on Monday. Google that and it'll come up. 15 miles per hour is like generally what we're looking for. Maybe 20 miles per hour is when things start to get problematic. And if that's the case and the total's going to be like 43, I'm going to pound the over in this game. We call it a snover. So yeah, I may look to play a contrarian over in this game. As far as the side is concerned, if I can get a 2.5 with Buffalo, I'll look to take it. I made the game 3.5. I could be wrong here. I know a lot of people are going to be on the Patriots this week. I still see an edge here with the Buffalo Bills. So Bills minus 2.5 will be a play for me laying Buffalo, but just keep everything I said in mind as it regards the total as we approach kickoff on Monday night.
Nice. Rip through them. Got about a minute left. Let's go.
Okay, let's see what we got here. We mentioned the Steelers already. Mm-hmm. I like the Raiders laying 2.5 at home against Washington. So anything below 3, I like the Raiders. Think this Washington's getting way too much credit for what happened on Monday night, which to me was entirely more about Russell Wilson being like Geno Smith than anything else. So I like the Raiders laying the 2.5. I'm going to wait to see where the number goes, and I think I'm actually going to probably play the Texans. They're plus 9 right now at home against Indianapolis. I feel like there's a chance this number hits 10. I actually don't think the number should even be 7. I think maybe Colts minus 6.5. So I'm going to end up playing the Texans, but I haven't played it yet. Vikings or nothing for me against the Detroit Lions. This is closer to 6.5 than it is to 7.5. Minnesota currently a 7-point road favorite. If this ever hits 6.5, I will lay it with Minnesota. So Minnesota, my buy point is 6.5. We need to wait to see who's going to play quarterback for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts did practice yesterday in a limited fashion. If he doesn't go, it's Gardner Minshew. If it's Hurts, I think that we're going to get a 7 in this game. Eagles minus 7. And if and when that happens, I'm actually going to bet the Jets. But I need 7 to bet the Jets. It's currently Eagles minus 6.5. And last one will be, I actually got two quick ones here. Cardinals are currently an 8-point favorite in Chicago against the Bears. I think once Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are announced as playing, this number is going to go up. I think it could possibly hit 10. And if it does, I'm going to bet the Bears. If it ever comes down to 7, I'll bet Arizona. Like, this is a tough week with all the quarterback uncertainty. So my apologies for all the contingencies that I'm offering here. And last one will be Tampa at Atlanta. I think the game should be 10. It's 11. So my decision is basically, do I bet on Atlanta or not? I haven't yet. I would never, ever bet Tampa laying this number here, 11 points on the road. Doesn't mean they can or won't win by 30, just that I think that, you know, 10 should be the number. Anything above that, now I'm interested in the Falcons.
Wham. Nick Costas. Nick, you're the best. We thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Also, by the way, love the under tomorrow night in the Pac-12 title game with Oregon and Utah. Appreciate it, guys. Wishing you and all your great listeners, Minimal Sweats, Winning Bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Gotcha. I'm getting that in. I'm getting the under in that one in. Pac-12 game.
Jeff Capel in less than 5 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray Fittipaldo tweeting from, I guess, what is today's daily Steelers media meeting. Cam Hayward talking to the media saying, I know there's been a big deal about freaking music, but I'm done talking about it because at the end of the day, I'm here to play with my teammates, these coaches, everybody in the best position, and it's my job to lead everybody. So Cam's done talking about your music at practice or music in the locker room or any kind of music for that matter. Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers reporter from the Post-Gazette, tweeting that out.
Can't wait for Keith Butler to address this music today. I'm telling you, he's going to say, do you think that Claypool's ever heard of George Jones? Because if so, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
Some good daggum awesome music.
Mel Tillis.
Yeah. yeah, that should be an interesting meeting with the coordinator.
I don't think Coach Butch is going to be asked about music. That's just a...
What if he is? What, well, Jim, I'm electing you.
I'll have the opportunity, but I'm not sure.
Will you be asking him who calls the plays, Jim?
That may come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Wow, this is going to be something. How are you going to frame this? Are you just going to say, there's a report out there that you don't call any plays? Do you, in fact, call plays?
I'd almost prefer to say, there's a report out there. I find it hard to believe that you don't have any, that you don't call any plays. I mean, is that... You know, something along
there
those
lines. There you go.
What if the answer was, I don't want to call any plays at all?
That's dead on accurate. It's,
yeah.
I don't call any defenses.
Would it surprise us at all?
No, not at all.
Not in the least.
And he's honest, seemingly.
Right. And just as soon as he starts saying something good, one of those trains will go by. Mm-hmm. It'll make it harder to hear him.
Jim always looks at the bright side. He always anticipates the good.
No, the train. No, I guarantee you, there'll be. You'll hear the sound tomorrow. That when he's talking,
glass quarter full. You're not even glass half full.
No, it depends on where the glass starts.
Trains in the background, much like we used to hear music in the background when we would get sound from the Steelers locker room on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yes, of course.
But Ben wouldn't let that happen. Never. Jeff Capel, Pitt head coach, he's going to join us next here on the Fan Morning Show.
ACC play starts tomorrow. Pitt basketball taking on Virginia. We welcome in Coach Jeff Capel joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning to you, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're great. Right, we are great. All right, I'm going to get right to it. You know, games are games, but take me through the week and take me through where your team is, because it doesn't look like, from the outside looking in at the results, that they'd be in a good place. Where are your guys mentally as you get set to take on the ACC?
Well, we're excited. We're anxious to get started, to play a conference game. Obviously, the last game was a...
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That punch force. We played well enough defensively to be in a position with under a minute to go to have a three-point lead, but we couldn't finish it. And it's really, really disappointing. It was hurt. We were very dejected, obviously, after the game. We got back together yesterday. We discussed it, we watched it, we evaluated it, we went through, we studied it, hopefully we learned from it, and then we got back out on the court and we started getting prepared for Virginia. It's been a tough start for us. I mean, there's no way around that, and we're still trying to find our way, but the one thing that I'm encouraged by is that our guys have shown up every day with the attitude to try to get better, to try to work, to try to learn from the mistakes and the things that we're struggling with and trying to show some improvement. And although the results haven't been what we want, you know, I've seen some improvement in our team, and we just have to keep pushing.
Jeff, what's your position on – and look, COVID has created a crazy world, and I understand the extra year of eligibility, just blanket being applied to everyone, and have no problem with it. And for the most part, don't have any problem with transfers as well if a kid wants to end up going some other place. But it's created this state of chaos. We were talking this morning about some mid-major programs out there that their roster – it feels like their entire roster has been turned over. You've dealt with it. I look in particular at your opponent the other night, Ben Johnson of Minnesota. Everything – it seemed like their entire starting lineup at one point on the floor – or their entire lineup on the floor at one point was all guys who'd come from mid-major programs and transferred over. Just how are you handling the transfer portal process, and is it getting to be a bit too much? Does it feel too chaotic?
Well, I think if you look at the state of college athletics, and for me, I look at it particularly only with through the lens of college basketball. I think it is chaotic right now, just because it's new and you had all these things kind of happening at once. And what I mean, you had this global pandemic, something that we've never seen. And then at the end of that, you have name, image, and likeness, and the one-time transfer, the ability to transfer. And then what, like you mentioned, what the pandemic caused was giving all these young people an extra year. And so it's just trying to navigate it. You know, I think someone on my staff did some research And I think the ACC was the conference, as far as the Power Five, was the conference that was hit the hardest as far as the transfers. We had more transfers from our rosters in the ACC than any other conference. And so, you know, just trying to figure out why and trying to figure out, you know, trying to navigate it all. You know, you have all of these things happening. It wasn't until June, this past June, that we were able to have kids back on campus, you know, have them visit, do official visits. It wasn't until late June and then in July that we were able to go out and evaluate kids face-to-face. And so I just think that, you know, throughout this, it has been chaotic. It absolutely has been. And I think that's why you're seeing so many, you know, Power Five teams get beat, because it's just chaotic right now, what's going on in college athletics, specifically in college basketball.
Jeff, how have you found, and you kind of mentioned the recruiting process is kind of getting back to, for lack of a better term, normal, but how does the players jumping around at the college level, how does that carry down to kids of high school age as well when you're recruiting them?
Yeah. No, it absolutely does. I mean, if you look at the past couple of years with the pandemic, some kids have not had seasons. They haven't played. You know, their high school season may have been shut down. And so you see transfers happening there. You see kids going to prep schools, you know, and going to these different schools where they have the ability and the opportunity to play. But I've always felt that I thought the one-time transfer thing, I thought the people that it could possibly affect the most are high school kids, because the reality is, you know, is it better to take a high school kid, or is it better to wait and take a transfer? Because if you get the high school kid, they can leave. You know, if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't go exactly how they expect, that doesn't mean that, like, they're not playing. They could be playing, but they may not get something in name, image, and likeness they thought they would get, or they may think they could get something better, or they may not get enough touches that they think, or their family thinks, and so they could leave. So is it better to take a guy that's maybe proven himself in college for a year or two and shown, and to take a transfer, because then you know you most likely have him, because he doesn't have the ability to, you know, for the one-time transfer. And so it's so new, and it happened so sudden. And even though you knew that it was coming, just understanding it and trying to navigate it has been a challenge, I think, for a lot of people.
Jeff, I'm your age. I've been going. You could ask people around the athletic department. I've been going to Pitt basketball games since I was 6 years old. I took my daughter the other day. We went to the UMBC game, and I look around at the Pete, and I remember Fitzgerald, and just frankly, that ain't it. Man, that ain't it. Are you worried that you're starting to lose one of your big advantages, which is your home court advantage, when you look around and that's the crowd?
Well, it's, you know, we have to be better. We have to give them something, you know, to be excited about. But I think if you look around college athletics, you know, the crowds are not what they once were. You know, during the 7 years that I was at Duke, you know, we experienced that there. And it was a shock, to be honest with you. I think there are more things that are competing for people's time. You know, number one, you know, most of these games are on TV and you can stream them. If they're not, like, on, you know, your local television or ESPN or something, you have the ability to stream them. And then there are more things competing, you know, with times, with people's time. And so, yes, it is a concern, but I don't think it's just right here with us. Obviously, that's the only thing that I am concerned about. We would love to have a packed house and, you know, to make it like it was. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure they want us to make it like it was, you know, as a program and get back to winning and being, you know, in the top 20 consistently and things like that. And so it's a challenge on both sides. And, you know, we're going to work as hard as we can on our end to try to make that happen. And if we do that, then we think that, you know, the support will be there. But I am grateful for the people that are showing up, for the students that are showing up. We need them. and we certainly do appreciate them.
Jeff, they're not the same Cavaliers of the last couple of years, but they're still Virginia. How do you get your guys ready, and what do you tell them about patience versus finding the open shot and taking it when you find it?
Yeah, well, you know, they were hit pretty hard by the transfer stuff as well. And, you know, so it is a different team, but their core values of their program are the same. It's built on defense. You know, five guys playing together as one on that side of the ball, being patient offensively, being efficient offensively, and they've certainly done that. For us, it's about being tough, being together. For us, having five guys play as one, you know, really understanding, trying to have an understanding of what we want to do offensively, how we want to attack, and we have to do it together. And then we have to be able to make the plays that are right there in front of us. And when we have opportunities to get shots, we have to take them with confidence. And so that's our plan. We're excited about the challenge, and we're looking forward to our first ACC game.
Jeff Capel, Pitt basketball coach. Jeff, good luck. Go get them. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Bye, Jeff.
Absolutely. You know, it's got to get rectified, though. Like, and hopefully this – and you look forward to the league play, and maybe that'll be something that'll jumpstart, or maybe something where they'll get a you know, kind of a refresher and something will happen. But it's just – it's the arrow's got to start pointing up for this basketball
It does,
team.
But it feels like the road – we said this earlier. It feels like the road has not gotten any shorter than where it was 4 years ago, right? Like, there is a long road to hoe to get this back to where it needs to be and where you expect it to be under a guy like Jeff Capel, and that road has not gotten any shorter. Great stuff inside a jam-packed show today. If you missed any of it, it's what Rewind on the Odyssey app.
We did a ton today, and there's a ton tomorrow.
Yeah, Pat Narduzzi at 7, Jeff Hathorn checked in at 7:30, Mike DeFabo at 8, Gary Stokin, who's a Beachview native and the CEO of the Peach Bowl, joined us for a couple minutes at 8:45, Nick Costos, Jeff Capel just a moment ago. Rewind on your Odyssey app. The podcast will be up soon, if they're not up already, for most of those segments as well, at 93.7thefan.com and inside your Odyssey app, where you get all your sports, all your music, all your news, and all your podcasts. Tomorrow, as Colin mentioned, another big show, Football Friday. Pat Bostic at 7:45 to preview the ACC championship game against Wake Forest. Lee Sterling with all the picks you need to know. Maybe another wrong team's favored gem, like he called Michigan over Ohio State last week. That'll be at 8 o'clock. Odds and ends at 8:30. Jim's already excited. Vinny Serrato at 8:45 from The Fan in Baltimore. Charlie Batch at 9. Our picks at the end of the show. So, yes, we've got you covered. We wrap up today's show, though, with the epic ending.
Welcome to the epic ending.
Presented by Xfinity. Check out the latest at Xfinity.com.
Here is something that I have learned just today.
I have learned that I think, and this is good probably, because we were idiots in junior high in that age and everything, I think pantsing has gone away. I really do. That was... It wasn't a time-honored tradition. It was just a tradition that was dumb or something that we did. But the art of pantsing, I don't know how that came up. We were talking to DeFabo about some things.
DeFabo talked about getting hit in the junk as a kid.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, flicking or whatever. What was it?
Whapping.
Whapping, flicking,
whapping,
all that.
Flicking,
cup check, yes.
Whap.
But
yeah,
then
you
it turned
somebody
into
with the back of your hand.
Pantsing
like
discussion. Whap. And, man, you were had to have your head on a swivel if you had some Umbros on or if you had, you know, some shorts like that. Just watch out.
You had to have protection.
Yeah, well,
you had to have like a guy.
Yeah, you had to just watch. Yeah. You had to watch out.
Yeah.
Just pantsing. No more pantsing, which is good. What do you got?
Well, I learned a new word today, and it's not the one. You guys can have the really easy one that we got today. But was when Costos goes, the snover. I'd never heard snover.
Yeah.
Like when he says like
Sam
the snow and it's not the no. Snover.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sam took the snover at some point, but you know, pointing out that it's not the snow necessarily that causes low scoring games, but it's the wind. And so he says he always looks for the over in a snow game, and they call it the snover. I'd never heard
celebrity
of that.
Owned snover.
Right, exactly.
It's a joke that a couple people got and really laughed.
Oh yes. Yeah, oh, celebrity man. Owned.
Matt?
I learned that Major League Baseball is really taking this lockout seriously. If you go over to the Pirates website or any team website this morning, there are no player stories, the rosters, all the pictures
no
are
faces.
Blacked out.
Yeah.
But do you know why, though? because if you are in a labor dispute, you're not supposed to make money off the name, image, likeness
right,
of people, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's, like, not uncommon with... It's not just baseball. It's in any industry, right? Isn't that the case?
Yeah.
They're not nameless, but they are gray faces.
It's true.
they are. Good
if call, you Jim. Put all the Pirates pictures up, though, would you be able to identify the current Pirates by their pictures? How many? Reynolds?
Yeah. Newman.
Newman? Who'd
Yoshi.
You say, Jim?
Cole Tucker.
Cole Tucker?
Hayes.
Yoshi.
Hayes, Yoshi.
Bednar.
Gamble.
Bednar,
but
yeah.
Not if you got a haircut.
Yeah, not just that little face picture. How many of the 40? Yeah. 10?
10, maybe. Maybe 12 on a good day. Yeah.
Jeez.
All right. I learned this will be the first season since 2013 that none of Clemson, Ohio State, or Oklahoma will win their conference. This will be the 28 years it's been since that happened. No Clemson, no Ohio State, no Oklahoma as conference champions. At least one of them, anyway. Prediction time now.
As a predictor of things, I predict this will happen.
The news story in through the afternoon today and maybe even lapping over to tomorrow morning will be how Keith Butler handles certain questions today during his media availability and or Matt Canada. That will be the hot news. That's my prediction.
Okay. If you're going to get anything, you're going to get it from Butler.
You know, Canada has made headway. He has made headlines in the past. Yes, he has.
All right.
There could be something to the whole he might just fire a shot at somebody. Or
oh, that'd be great if he did. But
yep.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff has Canada today. I've got Butts. We kind of switch off week by week. My prediction is that I kind of saw this one coming, and just to get personal a little bit, but my friend Sean McDonald retired as coach at UNH.
Oh, man.
Now, sadly.
We had him on.
Yes, and sadly, we had him on right after he won the last game that he ever won.
Oh,
because
wow.
They lost to Pitt, and they lost all their final eight games. Hey, look, he's had a great career, though. And you can make an argument that, I mean, Bill Bowes is really good. He's a Penn State guy. It preceded Sean. But Sean, you know, he's arguably the best coach they ever had. It just sucks that it had to go out, with his season or his career had to end the way that it did. But he's great. He's a good friend. And I predict that I'll be reaching out to him later today.
There we go.
All right. Matt?
Taysom Hill will score a rushing touchdown tonight, but will also throw two picks. And the Saints will lose.
You know what? Okay. That's very believable.
I'll piggyback off of that. Dallas, with most of their offensive pieces there, if not totally healthy, will score not a ton. It'll stay. You can still hit the under if you go take that under 47.5 at FanDuel right now. Dallas 28, New Orleans 17.
And that was our epic ending.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.